Back to part two of our episode on Stop Smell the Roses. My guest, Andy Nichols. Let's just kick it off. Side two, Dead Giveaway.
Dead Giveaway. Don't really like this track that much.
This is Ronnie Wood's major contribution to the record here. It's not that good. But
yeah, not a fan of this one. Okay, you know, it's okay, but it's not one that I go to a whole lot when I play this record. Obviously, you know, It's Ringo and Ronnie Wood on the song together. What do you like about it?
I think it's got a nice beat. I know there's an alternate version of it I have somewhere. It's another longer version. There was a lot of longer cuts on this album.
Yeah. His vocals is fine on it. Ringo sounds, he sings good on it. Again, remember, 1980, you know, Ringo is just about 40. This is 40 years ago. So, you know, 40-year-old guy, he's in the prime of his voice. Okay, he obviously hadn't conquered his demons with alcohol yet, but he could still sing and sing well. And this is his vocals great on Dead Giveaway. It's just not one that I play a lot.
It's just it's not like a masterwork of writing.
No,
it's no to pull out the Beach Boys again. It's no Smile.
It's not Surf's Up or Cabin Essence or Wonderful.
Just a moving, rocking song. So that's it.
That's it. The next song, obviously, is a cover, and I think it is a great track.
George Harrison, he comes back, and it's a great tune. More of that ELO backing vocal sound.
You hear it. You hear it right in the first 30 seconds of the song. You hear those echoes, the wash of the choir. That's that Jeff Lynne ELO sound, which you would hear later. But You Belong to Me is a great, yeah. And again, Ringo's, you know, a couple of co-writes, a couple of covers. Obviously you must know the original You Belong to Me, right? You've heard that?
Yeah, the old 50s tune.
Right. Right. This is kind of more of a lilty, jumpy take on that song. It's, you know, he kind of puts a little bit of a kind of, because the original one's a slow ballad. This is not a slow ballad. This is just a jumpy, typical You Belong to Me. Yeah.
It's a nice pop song, that's for sure. It's got a nice thing. It's got you, it kind of drums that might come up and then just kind of just bang. Right. And you have that type of 40s ending to it.
It does. And we see our first credit, and I knew he was on this record somewhere. I just didn't know where. Ray Cooper. I knew Ray Cooper was involved with this record. He's credited on this song.
John Tropo.
Yes. But he's on this record. He's on this song. He's credited on this song for piano, synth, and tambourine, and also co-producing the track as well.
Yeah, Assisted by Ray Cooper.
Who is still going strong.
On my CD is credit for piano, percussion, vocoder, and backing vocals on both tunes.
Really? Which this song and what else?
Rock My Brain and.
Is he?
Belong to Me.
Yeah, he's credited. He's credited for. He is on backing vocals. I missed that, but. Yeah, and percussion as well. Yeah. There's just certain songs I thought Ray Cooper being such the guy, I thought he would have been on every track, but he's such an awesome percussionist. I got to see him twice with Elton John in March and April, and he's still going strong, Ray Cooper. He is a phenomenal musician.
There's
phenomenal.
Video from the concert for George of Ringo and Ray Cooper, like he's got like a tambourine, Ringo's like, the marimba player is always going to be your friend. He's saying these type of things.
Yeah, but Ray Cooper has played with everybody and everyone across everywhere. Eric Clapton, George, I mean, everybody. Elton John, I mean, he is such an... He's just credited as like a backing guy on a Ringo album, but when you realize how talented Ray Cooper is and listen to what he's done, he's incredible. And the Beatles had all these guys at their hands to just use as session guys, right? But they're awesome in their own right, and they really are. Ray Cooper does a great job on this song.
Great tune.
The next track, not one. We talked about it briefly.
Bit of a, I think it's the weak link on this. Maybe these side two songs are a bit weak.
Yeah, they are. The side one really kicks it. I think kicks side two's butt a little bit.
You get a third side, basically. That I think the third side almost beats the second. It's close to being the second side.
Oh, with the bonus tracks?
Yeah, that third side of it too. I don't know about handgun promos.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, the quality of that one.
Now, sure, funnily enough, this cover version of Shoulders Sure to Fall was produced and mixed by Paul. So obviously it's a song he felt close to because he covered it in the Beatles days. But again, not the best choice of a cover, I think, for Ringo, not this one, when Paul does it so damn good on the BBC album.
Yeah, and there's also, I guess, this is the point where you have to talk about the cooler. You know about the cooler? Oh.
So yep.
Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Barbara Bach. This is an interesting video. It's very interesting, and it's hard
good to segue. Watch. Very good segue.
So Paul McCartney put together a short film for the free tunes he produced on the album. And it was called The Cooler. It's about Ringo. I believe he's stuck in like an ice box or something. He's in some sort of prison. They put him in like an ice box and he has to like sit around. And it's very like, there's a lot of just weird cuts in it. To like, this was a cut of the side of a wall.
Yeah.
To the song. And then they're like hanging out in like a country thing doing football.
It's very, the cooler was this little write up was featured in an issue of Club Sandwich from 82 talking about Tug of War, but on the back they talk about the cooler, and if you allow me, I'll just read you the little write up they right. talk about. So news on videos, a new mini film produced by MPL called The Cooler was recently entered into the short film category at the Cannes Film Festival, held from May 14th to the 26th. It's a short musical psychodrama starring Ringo, Barbara Bach, Paul, and Linda, and set in a prison camp policed entirely by women and sometime in the future. Ringo plays a habitual escapee who at the beginning of the film is caught and thrown into the cooler, a form of solitary confinement he only knows too well. As his mental state deteriorates, he fantasizes about his position and ambiguous relationship with the camp commandant, played by his wife, Barbara Bach. Paul appears in the film three times as a prisoner, Ringo's cowboy father, and as the bass player in a country western band. Linda McCartney appears as one of the guards. Watch out for them. The music featured in the film is taken from the album Stop and Smell the Roses, and the three tracks are Private Property, Sure to Fall, and Attention by Paul, and co-produced by Paul. Plans for a commercial distribution are being finalized.
I don't know how many VHS tapes that might have sold. Again, with the negative, I think it might have sold negative VHS tapes.
No doubt. But I remember first seeing clips of The Cooler on YouTube years ago, and I'm like, whoa. But again, what the hell was Paul there? Paul on these film plots, you know, in the early 80s. I don't know, what was he thinking?
MPL, a lot of weird ideas.
Yeah. But The Cooler, yeah, it's on YouTube still, right?
Half of that stuff, you don't even know if it came out, like,
nah.
The Echoes film, like that's like released, but it's not widely available besides on YouTube. Like,
right,
go and buy a DVD of Echoes.
Right, that The Cooler.
Okay, for people watching Echoes, the film where Paul McCartney goes around his old school. It's that became Lipa.
Right, and where you see him performing in Liverpool, which is a great song.
I think he's like sitting on top of like an auditorium chair.
Yep.
Guitar.
Yep. I know the school well. I used to walk by it all the time when I lived in Liverpool. I knew the area well. You know, it's funny, talk about films that you can't even get Son of Dracula. That's on YouTube, but you can't get that anywhere.
All the DVDs of that are bootlegs.
All of them bootlegs. So we got two tracks left, right?
Yeah, and then we got the bonus tunes.
We got the bonus.
This is Stephen Stills.
Yeah.
Thing. I wouldn't say it's the best tune on the album, but it's an alright. It almost kind of occupies the same space in my head as Dead Giveaway. They're similar tunes.
Similar, but in terms of the other songs on the album that are not, that don't have any Beatle ties, aside from Paul and George's, so I would put this above Dead Giveaway a little bit. I like this a little bit better than Dead Giveaway. Obviously,
Harry Nilsson tunes.
I put the Harry Nilsson tunes above this too.
Yeah,
for sure. It's got that Steve. It's got that CSNY vibe to it, though. A bit
of that, like, kind of harmony stuff.
The harmonies. You know, it sounds very CSNY-ish. A little bit. Again, this and Dead Giveaway probably are, you know, once, if I'm listening to the whole album, I listen to it. Other than that, I'm not coming back to it.
Yeah. So let me see. Is there any interesting personnel on these tunes? So not really many. I mean, I don't really know of any of these other people besides, of course, Stephen Stills.
No, I've never heard of anybody else on this, on the tracks.
When we talk about Wake Up, there's some very interesting personnel on that.
On what?
On Wake Up, when we get to that.
Okay. You'll have to tell me because I don't have the CD with me.
So now this is the final tune on the album. I mean, it's interesting. Harry Nilsson, he's coming back. He's doing his You Can't Do That with Back Off Boogaloo, the remake number one. Can't believe you have to say, like, you have to number the remakes.
You do. And of course, yeah, with a little touch of It Don't Come Easy to start us off.
We'll get to remake number two. I'll get to remake number two in 2028, I assume.
Please.
Give More Love. We'll get the 50th anniversary box set of Give More Love.
Yeah, Back Off Boogaloo is, listen, the original one
is great.
Awesome. Even a better promotional film, which was filmed on John Lennon's estate at Ascot. If you've ever seen the film, it's filmed at John's house. It's such a good song. I don't think why did he have to redo it?
I think they, like a lot of things here, they felt like it. They liked the song and they kind of got an idea about it. I mean,
yeah, it's again,
it's got nice harmonies in there.
Yeah.
You can tell where Mark Hudson got his chops from. If you hear like the Good Day Sunshine harmony in there, that's straight out of Ringo Rama Vertigo Man.
Yeah. And Ringo's vocal is, he's just kind of singing the same thing again. The production obviously is a little different on this one, but you know, the good songs on this album are like great, and the songs that are not so great on this album are not great. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but the good on Stop and Smell the Roses is great.
Friday is great. You Belong to Me, lots of good, some good stuff on this.
Right. But the stuff that's not so great, you know, Short of Fall, this,
Nice, you know, Dead,
those ones I'm not listening to as much, but you have to kind of tell me about the bonus tracks on the CD because I don't have the CD.
Okay, so we're gonna roll right into Wake Up featuring Keith Richards and Ron Wood just in the background. That's a very interesting, like, you get Keith Richards on your album and you don't even put the song on.
I'm playing it right now because I mean, I have it digitally, so I'm listening to it. It opens up, kind of sounds a little rocky, little keyboards going there a little bit.
Almost a bit of a Stones vibe, but not like rock like the Stones.
No.
Almost like if a softer tune.
So this is the song. So we had Ron Wood and Keith on this song?
Yeah, I can recheck the credits. So let me see. Except Wake Up, the same plus. Am I just on the... Okay, it should be here. Except Wake Up, the same plus Ron Wood, Keith Richards guitar.
There we go. Yeah, I see it now.
Ron Wood was already on the... Oh, it's a Stephen Stills tune with Ron Wood and Keith Richards on it.
This one?
Yeah, it's a Stephen Stills produced.
Wake Up. Yeah.
Nice. That's a group right there.
That's a group. They probably could have came up with something a little better. I mean, maybe... Although just my initial thoughts and impressions on this was... This, I would have taken this over a cover of Short of Fall. This would have been better.
I would have taken this over Dead Giveaway. I mean, isn't that the side changer, Dead Giveaway?
Yeah.
Then you come into a side of Wake Up. That's, you're waking
that up. That would have been better. That Wake Up to open up side two would have been better. Just on my initial thoughts here.
There's floating around versions like Take Four, Take Five, lots of false starts of this are on bootleg.
Yeah, that... There's
a lot of material from this on bootleg. There's a lot on bootleg from this.
Is there?
It's like, because those like Can't Fight Lightning bootleg sessions box sets.
Right. Yeah, that would have been better. Yeah. So I see the next one is supposed to be Red and Black Blues.
This is great. This should have been on the album.
Give me the rundown on this song.
It's like, from what I remember, it's a slow, bluesy... It's not slow. It's almost mid-tempo bluesy tune. me see who produces it. So it's got the hashtag. What's the hashtag? I have to like actually. It's a
Steve. Can I give you the?
I had to mash the marks. I've never had to mash the marks before.
Yeah.
It's a Stephen Stills tune. It's nice, and it's not got a nice beat too. I would have taken this over the up this nice way.
All right, so my initial thoughts are these two could have definitely been on.
And they could have picked up the tunes by their respective producers.
Yeah, the cover of Back Off, the two covers, Short of Fall and Back Off Blue Goo, I swapped them out. I to put these two on there easily. Just in terms of who you had on them, Stephen Stills and the production people on them. Yeah, these would have been made. These would have been better album tracks. They're not hits, but they're just good album cuts, yeah. And they would have been better album cuts. They would have been
the ones that actually came out on the record. And
correct.
I guess we're going through this fast, but Brandy, number 13. I don't remember anything about this song.
You don't.
I think it was slow. It was like a slow. It's never slow.
It opens up slow. I'm listening to it now. Yeah. It opens up slow. It sounds like it's ballady. I don't know it. I've never listened to it.
You never. I understand that. It's not the. It's an outtake. That's what you can say about it. It's an outtake.
Not bad. It's slow. It's ballady. This catches my ear.
Is the chorus?
This catches my ear. This song. I like when Ringo's songs are a little more slower. And pronounced. Those jumpy, bumpy type songs, I get tired of them. Songs where he actually goes out of his way to sing a ballad or a production or a slower number, I like those. This is a song I'll listen to again.
It's forgettable, but it's a nice tune, I think. I don't remember much of it.
Give it a listen again. It's not bad. I like it. I like it infinitely better than most of what we heard so far of the new stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course...
Track 14, you have Stop and Smell the Roses, the original vocal version. We already pretty much talked about this. There's not much you can say about it, except it's good. It's an interesting alternate. I could have almost just taken the little 30-second snatch where he says a different line.
That's it.
I think it's an alternate vocal take, I believe, or rough mix or something. It's neat.
It's neat. It's a nice thing to have,
because I feel like, you read about books, it's like, oh, there's an alternate version of this in the vaults where John Lennon says this instead of this. And this is an actual time where you have the tune.
You can actually hear it. So it's nice to have. It's nice to have, for sure.
This is a nice, I feel like talking about the CD, it's a nice printed CD. Like, you have the little hole, the little rim on the disc. Like, it's a nice.
Yeah. When did you get that? How long ago did you get the CD, Lucas?
Like a year ago. Back when I was really doing the podcast a lot, like, because it came up on eBay. It came from the UK. It was an import.
Did you win it? Or did you
I
do
bought, was it? It was like someone had a lot of them.
Huh.
I don't think it was originally sealed because it came with all a whole bunch of disc marks and like a break on the case. So I didn't feel bad unsealing it.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got that, brother, though, because that's a score, that CD.
Yeah.
It's a good one to have.
Old Wave. I'm not going to be able to get all Ringo's albums on CD because I don't want to spend $30 on Ringo the Fourth. Well, that's like, that's enough for you get these two discs for $20.
Right.
My Name, nice record, Change the World. Interesting.
Yeah. Did you get the cassettes too?
I can get the cassettes. I draw a line of cassettes. I mean, the Change the World packaging. I know I've talked about this a lot, but it's inventive, it's new. It's the bricks. It's bricks. Yep. And check this out, man. What do you think the background's going to be for these lyrics? Some bricks, man. he's really reestablishing the brick format.
I'm glad that he's growing his hair out again, too, after 20 years.
20 years of the same, like, close-cut thing he had for Vertical Man.
I know. He's like, oh, he's 81 years old, and he's still growing his hair out.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a chance to go see him on tour?
I mean, if he comes back to like that type of, if he comes back to my area, but he hasn't been to he hasn't been around in like 5 years. I'm sure he'll come back. He always comes back to all the States.
Yeah.
He seems like he's dead set on touring. I think it's going to be like, okay, so we got time. They got back. It's going to be like,
yeah.
Paul McCartney, he plays one song from McCartney Free, Only New Thing. And then he dumps it after the second shell.
And he, but yeah, but that's fine. He put Let Him in place of Women and Wives, so I'm fine with that.
But then he brought it back. But he kept, he just like, I think he should just play something. One, he's been doing a slight switch every night.
Of all the songs of McCartney 3, that's the one you're going to play? Why not Sliding?
You could open her. You could open
Find My Way. Sliding.
The band knows Sliding already.
Right. They did it. Play Sliding. Play Find My Way. Play Seize the Day. Play, I don't know, play anything. You know, do you play Women and Wives?
Long Tail Winterbird during the acoustic medley.
Yeah, you could play that, you know. God, they promoted the hell out of that song anyway when the album was coming out, the Long Tail Winterbird. Just play that. So, Women and Wives. Yeah, Got Back. I'll be going in about a month.
He has, like, weird patterns of this tour. Like, he played Queenie Eye, then he played New, then he played Queenie Eye, then he played New. That's interesting. I like how he's playing, he plays one song from all of his last albums after in the last 15 years. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. And he's still playing.
He stationed in McCartney 3, though. That's weird.
Right. Nothing. And then, you're still getting.
Anymore.
No, and you're still getting, like, he still plays Dance Tonight, right? Is Dance Tonight in the set?
Yeah, it's in the set. I like that. I like Memory Almost Full. That's a nice album.
Right. So you've got that, but nothing from Egypt. Well, you've got Come On To Me. So there's something from Memory.
Come On To Me, Fuck You. He's playing two songs. He's playing more from Egypt Station than McCartney 3.
Which is crazy, but good for him for still playing a song from, you know, New is an album that's going to be, that's all going to be almost 10 years old. So in terms of Paul keeping songs in from his other albums, he's done a better job of that because obviously, when Driving Rain came out, he did three songs from the album. And then the next tour was Chaos. There was no driving songs, right? And then he did the Chaos tour. There was Chaos songs. And then he did the Good Evening
the
New York.
The gig and the...
Right, Amoeba stuff. And then there was nothing from Chaos.
He was playing those odd songs. From... He was playing House of Wax live. That was neat.
I got to see him do House of Wax live. That was incredible.
He did five or six shows with that set.
He did.
Electric Ballroom, a few others.
He did. They saw him at the Highline Ballroom.
It was in 2007. Like, bring him back. That was nice.
So the fact that to your point, the fact that he's bringing back, like he's keeping songs from his last five or six albums is really, that's somewhat refreshing in a somewhat stale set list.
I was expecting Dance Tonight to get cut, but then like when you watch the video, I think it's become like a Here Today, a something that has to stay in the show because he does the ukulele jam and the band dances. So that's like a part of the show.
That's a part of the show now. It's not just a song. It's part of the set. And that's what a live show is. And it's a good song anyway. And I'm happy that it's still in the set list. So are you going to see Paul?
He's not coming around. He's the closest he is New Jersey. So that's like, that's still a 5-hour drive.
Oh man, that's a haul for you. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. In 1 month, I'll be there. We'll see how it is.
Okay, You Can't Fight Lightning. Going back to Paul McCartney. Here we are.
Yes, here we go. I'm back to Paul. You Can't Fight Lightning. The original title for the album.
Right. I think it's good. I think it's good stuff.
This is a good track. Opens up.
It's the heaviest Ringo's been.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, Devil Woman's pretty heavy, but this is the heaviest.
And it's a pity that I know the album was scrapped to be called this, but it's too strong of a song that it should have been sequenced back in there somehow. Call it Stop and Smell the Roses, but put this track back on the album.
When you have Sure to Fall.
Right. You know, and clearly Ringo, like George with something with Somewhere in England, went through a lot of time to assemble Can't Fight Lightning, and obviously he felt strongly about it, and then he just drops it. So it should have been on this album properly. It's great that it's a bonus track, but when we're talking about this period in Ringo's career, this is what this album was going to be. Can't Fight Lightning was the genesis of this whole writing period, and to just discard it because they didn't like it.
Pops all the roses. I mean...
Right, which says something a lot about record company politics, that even in 1980, a Beatle didn't have the power that, say, he has now. Nobody would ever question Ringo now. I mean,
they're not going to call this album Rockin' Ringo and just take out all the songs and replace them with covers or something.
Right. You Can't Fight Lightning is Ringo rocking. It's got a great kind of riff throughout the whole thing, good beat throughout the whole thing. The 540 version I like a lot. That's on this. I have a digital version of the CD you have there. So this cut is 540. Mattinger and East to say You Can't Fight Lightning was pared down to 538 during mixing the full version, which ran in excess of 10 minutes. Wow, can you imagine a 10-minute version of this song?
I was thinking that this album, George is Somewhere in England, it never really got, you never got everything together to put it back in one CD. You had the one bonus track in 2004 that was it. This is a thing where the Ringo album's archival release is more realized than the George one. That's great. Surprising.
That's a great point, Lucas. It encompasses the whole era perfectly. At least they did that the right way. I mean, that record company probably isn't even around anymore, the right stuff. But
I feel like that's like definitely a boutique label right there. I don't think it exists anymore.
Definitely does not.
If Ringo got like Omnivore Recordings, which is basically like what the Right Stuff was doing then, but now.
Yeah.
They put out the Harry Nilsson release, some Jellyfish box sets. Nice label there. If they reissued some Ringo stuff on CD with some bonus tracks, that'd be nice to see.
They really should. Every Ringo CD should be made available with bonus tracks. Why couldn't he's back with Capitol and EMI. Why couldn't they just get these rights and throw them all out there? Even digitally.
Yeah. I mean, the digital versions aren't even available. I don't have Ringo 2012. I don't have it. It's not on Apple Music.
Wow. See, that's not even streaming, huh?
I've got everything else. Well, I mean, all of this stuff. I don't even have the Ringo Ron with both tracks. I only need one song from Ringo 2012. I only need Samba.
Right. But So.
The final song.
Yeah.
This is a masterwork of writing, and it has such a musical quality. Handgun Promos.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Again, relating to John, you know, John Lennon sadly died before he could tape his contributions to this album. But this could be John Lennon on this album, because this is Harry Nilsson. You know, he got into the gun violence cause after Lennon's passing, and he got Ringo to do some adverts for the handgun organization, the Coalition to End Handgun Violence.
Yeah, Harry got big into the anti-handgun stuff after John in the early 80s. It was everything that drove Harry really to the end of his days at Beatle Fests. He would, you know,
always have the pins.
Always. He would always have the pins. So it's no surprise to see an album that's kind of, that has a
nice, such and a, to break up the summer mood, but you can buy the pins on Harry Nilsson's website, so you can buy the vintage
80s. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any?
I don't have any, but maybe next time I make an order on the Harry Nilsson shop, which is not good. They only have two records on there, like most artist shops. They have like two records. Ringo's the same way. He had Zoom In and Change the World, and then a few months ago, before Change the World got announced, I was like, oh, they're going to change it. They're going to take out What's My Name. It was What's My Name and Zoom In. And then right when Change the World gets announced, there goes What's My Name.
Right, gone. So they only keep two in stock, these places. They only
keep two in stock at each time.
Yeah. Yeah. But interesting doing – it's interesting. It's a
hidden track. This is basically a hidden track material.
It's a hidden track. It's nice that they included it because of obviously it tells you – it gives you a nice kind of historical context of the album in which it was made. Obviously, you know, obviously after John's passing, things are very sensitive then there. And obviously that's the legacy of this album. Obviously, other than being one of Ringo's best, it's the album that has the most Beatle connections to it after his self-titled album, but the one that John was supposed to be on and sadly wasn't.
Also,
what's that?
Producing credit. Vertical Man's got two Beatle connections on there.
It does, but this one, because of the timing and when it came out, I think is why historically it will be thought of probably better. It'll be when people want to explore some Ringo stuff aside from the big hits, and they read a little history and they know what went into this album. This is why I think this album will stand out from the pack more than the other ones, because of when it came out, who was involved with it and what and the songs that were on it because of what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be Can't Fight Lightning, and that changed. John was taken, and then it became this. And so that's why I think it has its rightful place.
It's sort of a change in direction. It's what? It's recovery. It's not time takes time recovery, but it's a form of recovery.
It's after a form of
sickness. His last big sickness of his life, besides alcoholism, of course, the last big like actual health problem and the house burning down, all the other problems.
All that which he was going to go through and still going through. So very, you know, tough period in his life. And he made an album that is, I find, enjoyable for the most part, aside from the tracks that I'd skip. But again, the great On Stop and Smell the Roses is phenomenal. The top tier Ringo. The other tracks, not as much. But just going through the album and the bonus cuts that I listened to briefly while you talked about them. Wake Up and Red and Black Blues. And Brandy. Those three tracks could have gone on the album.
Oh, and what did you say? Wake Up, Red, Black, Blues, and Brandy? Those are Lightning. Four songs.
Yeah, and the one that was supposed to be the title track. Put those four songs
on another side.
Yeah.
You get out this, that speaks to the quality of this reissue, where you get not just the album, but historical context. Like, you get to know, you get a bit of the folklore of the album with the alternate version of Stop Smell the Roses. You get a bit of, like, what was there, what they changed, and you get the whole other set of material. It's a nice reissue.
It's a nice reissue, and it's a hell of a score, and congrats on scoring a copy, because I think I saw it on Discogs for, like, I think $60. Somebody had one.
Oh, it used to be on eBay for $400.
Really?
They had like a big photo of it. $400 Ringo Starr sold the Rose. Nobody's gonna spend $400 on a Ringo album that didn't even sell 4,000 copies.
Copies, right? right. So, yeah, no, this is a nice way to kick off the 1980s for your season two of your podcast, and it's been a pleasure to be on here and talk about
all the way through to 98 to Free Time Takes Time.
Is that so? Season two, you're going to go up to Time Takes Time?
Time Takes Time, and then I'm going to ramp up through the Mark Hudson years, and I'm going to close it out with some of the modern Bruce Sugar stuff.
So that'll be like you'll do like four parts of your four seasons? Parts.
I'm sure I'm going to keep doing it for a long time. I'm going to keep
going. You should.
Yeah.
You should.
He's going to keep releasing these EPs. He's going to keep making us pay $12 for four songs.
For four songs, right.
And, you don't just get four songs to change the world. You get a world of bricks.
You get bricks, baby. You get bricks. So, I'm happy to see that you're continuing your show, and it's the to date, I believe, still the only Ringo Starr solo podcast. The
first and only Ringo Starr podcast, because nobody else bothered.
But you know what? Somebody had to, and you did. So yeah. I wish you lots of luck in continuing your journey through his albums, because nobody else is doing it, but you are. So.
Yeah.
You know, keep on keeping on, brother.
Wouldn't it be nice if Ringo did Stop Smell the Roses tunes live?
It would be great, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah, he's never pulled out any. He's never pulled out a single tune. He pulled out Oh My My. That's the only time he's ever pulled out a tune.
Yeah, and that was a fairly significant hit.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, next time I'll be doing... Old Wave.
Old Wave. The only Canadian only issued Old Wave, Canadian, right? Only
came Germany.
Or Germany, right.
I'll have to record that in Canada. I'll have to get somebody from Canada for that.
Ethan Alexanian, maybe.
I know. He was talking to me about Old Wave. That's what I was like, hooking him for the Old Wave episode. I'll see if that works out.
Check it out, brother. But thanks for having me on again, Lucas. Thanks. Thank you, man.
All right. Peace and love.
Peace.